I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske, and this is Up to Date. It's been said that Johann Sebastian Bach's music could make divine things human and human things divine. If that's true, then Konstantin Lifschitz is a high priest. The virtuoso pianist has been captivating audiences worldwide since the age of 13. Today we talk with Lifschitz, in town for the annual Bach Festival, about his career and about Bach, the music, and the man. Then we'll turn from Bach to Buds and Blossoms, the ones shockingly already opening in Kansas City, greeted by shouts of, "No, too soon!" We'll talk about how unusual this is and what the impact of a hard freeze might be, and if you can do anything about it. Plus, later, a fan's notes on sports and film. It's Up to Date after this hour's news. Good morning and welcome to Up to Date. Steve Kraske is away. I'm Brian Ellison. Today we are talking about Bach and blossoms. In the second half of our show today, we'll be talking with Powell Gardens, Director of Horticulture, about our early spring and what it may mean for your trees and flowers and shrubs. But first, today, we're talking about another kind of sublime beauty, the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach is more than one of the most prolific and important composers in musical history. He is regarded as having brought the spiritual and the earthly together as well as anyone else ever to scrawl notes on a page. That quote from the top of the show about making the divine human and the human divine is from cellist and conductor Pablo Casals, and it reflects the regard that performers still have for the great Johann Sebastian Bach. Konstantin Lifschitz has been playing Bach since he was a child, touring since he was 13, nominated for a Grammy when he was 17, and he's in Kansas City this month as part of the annual Bach Festival. This year, the focus is on Bach's keyboard works, many of which are being played by our guest. Konstantin Lifschitz, welcome to Up to Date.
Good morning, everybody.
So you obviously have the talent to do many things. Why is it Johann Sebastian Bach whom you have focused on?
Well, I'm not sure. Speaking of agriculture, I'm not sure I can deal with blossoms and shrubs.
So it might as well be Bach, right?
Yeah.
Why does the composer Bach hold such a thrill for you?
I don't know, actually. And I've often asked this question, and I never know a precise answer. But for some reason, Bach seems just to come first. Closer to the destination than most other composers.
Yeah, you've been playing him for a long time, obviously. How old were you when you first put your hands on a piano keyboard and played some Bach?
Well, my first piano concerto when I was 8 or 9 was precisely Bach's F minor concerto, and my first recital included Bach.
There's nothing unusual of kids who study music to do a lot of Bach, but it somehow just seemed to develop smoothly as I proceeded.
I imagine it. I mean, you at that age, you can't even reach all of the keys with your fingers that you might need to play some pieces, right?
Oh, well, that wasn't so much of an issue.
All right. How many hours a day do you play the piano?
Well, let's see. Sometimes I'll be flying the whole day, changing planes frequently, and then I just don't see any keyboard around.
Yeah.
On other days, I might just come and go whole day long, and then on another day, I'll be busy doing something else. So I'll be just barely an hour or two. So I don't have, unfortunately, I cannot have a fixed routine for that.
Well, we're going to talk about Bach, about the man and the music today, but I know a lot of folks are interested in you. There's been a lot of folks excited about your being in town to play the Bach Festival, and one of the things that everyone mentions is that you have this incredibly large repertoire already stored in your memory. It's all already in there. How is it that you can memorize these long expanses of music and keep them all in your head?
Well, it's not exactly the case. I mean, I'm pretty fast to memorize things, but unfortunately they tend to disappear just as quickly.
Oh, okay.
So it takes a while to refresh them.
So you are human. Well, that's fair. Well, I want to talk a little bit about some of the pieces of music that you've either been playing already in town or that you're going to play. And we have another clip, in addition to the one we heard at the top of the hour, from the Goldberg Variations. So let's listen to a little of that. What are we hearing?
Boy, that recording is really out of date.
You were how old? You may have been 12 when you played that from.
No, 17.
Oh, okay, only 17. My goodness, it's beautiful. What is it?
It's the first variation of the Goldbergs.
What is the Goldberg Variations anyway?
Bach never thought of calling these Goldberg Variations. This was a later. Whether it's a fictitious story or a true one is not really relevant. But it said that one of the pupils of Bach, whose name was precisely Goldberg, was a house musician of the Saxon ambassador to Russia, who was suffering from insomnia. So to entertain him, he ordered Bach to write something like variations, and that's what Bach decided to do. And that's why they're called Goldbergs.
And they're variations on a particular theme, right?
They're on a variation on the theme that Bach wrote quite a few years before he was commissioned to do something.
So he takes that same theme and sort of works it in and out and up and down in all different ways.
Well, basically it's an ancient Pasakai type of variation. Bach just bases all of the 30 Goldberg variations on the same bass. But what he does and where he imparts is really quite amazing, while remaining pretty much the whole time in the same key, G major, except three G minor variations in a minor tone, minor mode. He never seems to be bored with this bass, with his fundament, and he never bores us, of course. So this is something to be quite astonished by.
That's Konstantin Lifschitz. He's a pianist, and he's playing as part of the Friends of Chamber Music's Bach Festival, the Goldberg Variations, which you heard him playing there at age 17, but he'll be playing a little past 17 this week, actually next Saturday, February 18th, at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. That's one of six different concerts he's giving as part of the Bach Festival. Johann Sebastian Bach has been such a part of your life and your playing for so long that it's probably hard to get back to why. But people have said that there's a very spiritual quality to Bach's music. Do you find that to be the case?
There is spiritual quality. There is non-spiritual quality. Yeah, there were a lot of contemporaries of Bach who were just as spiritual as him, probably, in a way, in a sense. But for some reasons, they've long forgotten, and Bach remains. So it's hard to pinpoint. I think everybody has his or her own approach to Bach. So
yeah, and what is your approach to Bach? If you have to explain to others how your interpretation of him or your understanding of him is different, what is your understanding?
Well, I'm not trying to be different. I'm trying to be faithful to what I think is truth, and of course this truth never remains the same. It's sort of new each day that I have to deal with it. So I think while it has its disadvantages that maybe my overall quality is not particularly even, which it can't possibly be, it has this certain vitality to it.
Yeah. We're talking with Konstantin Lifschitz. He is a pianist and is here as part of the Bach Festival. If you have questions for him or your own reflections on the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. What are you listening for when you listen to this kind of great music? You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org. We're also on Facebook at the KCUR page, and you can tweet at KCUR up to date. You are performing tonight at the Folly Theater, and among the pieces you're performing are the Inventions and Sinfonias. What is that piece about? What is that?
Well, originally Bach called them what was to become Inventions. Later on, he called those preambles, so introductions or little preludes, if you want.
Okay.
And the symphonies he called fantasies. He designed those for his son, for his oldest son, Wilhelm Friedemann. And it's kind of striking. And the more I deal with these little pieces, the more striking it becomes. What a source of world grief he's actually put on the shoulders of this 8 or 9 year old one.
Yes, I think many an 8 or 9 year old piano student has felt the same way ever since.
Yeah. Not just because of the technical demands that are probably not the most exuberant ones, but really the content of the piece. Some of the pieces is certainly not for the 9 year old ones.
It's interesting that you would be playing in a concert these pieces of music that were written for 8 or 9 year olds then. What sustains them as great concert works?
Well, they are some of the condensed pieces of music. I mean, some of these inventions are 1.5 or 2 minutes long, and they have just as much material as a Mahler symphony that lasts 80 minutes.
Right.
In a way, and there wouldn't be a Mahler symphony, and there wouldn't be Debussy, and there wouldn't be Bartok, and there wouldn't be so many things. In the centuries to come after Bach. So right. It's quite fascinating how laconic and how precise and how condensed these little forms are.
The Bach Festival is structured in such a way that you play these somewhat more condensed pieces tonight, and then you move on through the Well-Tempered Clavier tomorrow and eventually the Art of the Fugue a week from now, shows the full range of complexity of Bach's music. What's your favorite to play?
I don't have an answer to that.
Name me one of your favorites.
Well, they're all my favorites. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing them. I wouldn't have agreed. I would have chosen something else. These five concerts I'm taking part in, because one of the concerts with all Brandenburg concertos, the sixth concerto that you mentioned, is without my participation. I think it has been already, actually.
Yes, I think that's right.
End of January. So the remaining five concerts where I either play entirely or take part in, such as the concerto night, where I'm just doing two concertos. There'll be also a cantata and I don't remember exactly what orchestral piece. There'll be one of the orchestral suites as far as I remember. So they're here to show really the all possible variety and widest possible spectrum of Bach's heritage in these five concerts.
Konstantin Lifschitz in town for the Bach Festival. 816-235-2888 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment about the music of Bach or the piano work of Konstantin Lifschitz. Let's talk to Matt in Baldwin City. Matt, good morning.
Well, hello. This is a wonderful conversation. I just the other day, this is about last weekend, I was having a conversation with somebody, and we both hilariously realized that our very first experiences with really hearing a lot of Johann Bach's music was in the late 60s to the album Switched on Bach, which was that electronic album of Bach's music done by, I think it was Walter Cum Wendy Carlos. And, it was, I think that album had a lot to do with, for one thing, acquainting Americans more with what was going on in electronic music, and also connecting it back to something as solid as what we consider to be, you know, classical music. And I was wondering what your guest, thinks of that. And I also had another question about Bach's use of, I guess what I've heard one artist refer to as numbers magic, numerological
sure. yeah.
sequences. And
good,
such.
Good questions, Matt. Let's ask Constantine first of all about the album, the electronic album that Matt became familiar with Bach through.
Matt, thank you for both questions. The first question is precisely outlining what we talked before about the different approaches, and it really doesn't matter how you get fascinated or at all acquainted with Bach's music, whether it's through jazz or electronic or more classical rendition. It's just important to you or to whoever else who got an access, who, you know, sort of opened the door to this world of Bach, and it doesn't really matter whether you arrive by a car or by horse. I hope this answers this
question.
Yes,
that's great. And now he asked about numbers, and a lot of people ask about, are there codes, are there secret numbers in Bach's music?
Well, there are probably codes in everything, not just in Bach's music. It's becoming, or it has become, and maybe already 10, 20 years ago, a little bit of over speculation about this whole number business. I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. You cannot deny that. It's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. Now, how important is that to me as a practicing performer, practicing musician? I don't know. I try to feel it in a sort of more intuitional way, but I don't really get so involved with that.
Appreciate that call, Matt. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Jack in Martin City. Jack, good morning.
Good morning. This is a real pleasure, and I'm looking forward to hearing Mr. Lifshitz. I was just wondering if he could compare his approach to the Goldbergs to the Glenn Gould interpretation that was such a groundbreaker many years ago.
That's a great question, Jack. And we should say that, you know, one of the first things people said about Konstantin Lifshitz as he was just arriving on the scene was that he was one of the greatest interpreters of Bach since Glenn Gould. So how do you compare your interpretation of the Goldberg variations to Gould's?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, thank you, Jack, for the question. First of all, I'd like to say that the real groundbreaker of doing Goldbergs on the piano was not Glenn Gould. It was Rosalind Turek, who really was not so crazy about what Glenn Gould did with her works, although he really appreciated her immensely. And I had an honor of actually working with Rosalind Turek after I made the recording. So this recording, where I think it's really completely out of date and is absolutely irrelevant for me, is that it sort of really still sits in the strain of Glenn Gould. And since then, I've really departed on a totally different voyage with the piece or with my piano playing in general and Bach in particular. Whether it was what people expected me to do or whether it was a really pattern I was to do, I don't know. I don't think I had much of a choice. So I don't really feel that I took something from the hands of Glenn Gould and tried to carry it along. I think the Bach's message is much broader than just what Glenn Gould did, as much as I admire a lot of things of Glenn Gould, and I just try to do that job as good as I can.
Jack, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
You know, I think a lot of people are intimidated by the thought of Johann Sebastian Bach, that's music that seems from long ago, especially if they don't feel like they really grasp the intricacies of the music. Is there a way into Bach's music for the beginner or for the person who doesn't find themselves to be a music expert?
Well, first of all, I don't quite exactly understand what means long ago. I mean, where do we set the border? Is 2 years ago long ago? Is 200 years long ago? Is it 20 minutes ago? Is it already long ago?
So, sure.
It's also relative. As far as the accessibility of Bach for the younger people, I think it is either you really get trapped, you get attracted by this music straight away because it speaks to us also on a purely really what you call codes. You were talking about figures.
Yeah.
Really, I experience Bach's music as sort of certain codes that just, you know, get engraved in your brain immediately. And I've rarely encountered people who were really developing their taste for Bach. It happens with most of other composers. I mean, I didn't know where to start with Beethoven as I was a kid, for example. And now Beethoven is probably my most favorite composer. You know, it's a process that is very hard to analyze. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your taking a few minutes on a busy day and a busy week to spend time with us. Konstantin Lifschitz has concerts tonight and tomorrow at the Folly Theater. Tonight, the Inventions and Sinfonias. Tomorrow, the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 2. And then Valentine's Day and also Saturday the 18th, he's performing at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts. You can find information on the Friends of Chamber Music site, and you can follow a link from our webpage at kcur.org. Konstantin Lifschitz, thank you so much for joining us today.
My great pleasure.